I greet you in the name of His Majesty, King Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Amen. King of kings, Lord of lords. Every time you hear that now, think about who He's king over. Who is He Lord over? He's King of kings. Who are the kings that He is king over? Who are the lords that He is Lord over? Amen. He's not king of the king of Saudi Arabia. He's not king of the king of Sweden. Unless, of course, all those folks are Christians. So when it says king of kings, talk about us. We are the kings that is king over. Mm-hmm. And we are the lords. Oh my. That He is Lord over. You know, the Bible says that we reign. Remember that? We reign in Christ, in this life. And that's language that goes with kings, isn't it? Kings reign. Even the U.S. president does not reign. Huh? Have you thought about that? Yeah. The U.S. president does not reign. No president, no prime minister reigns. They govern. They execute, perhaps. But we reign. What does it mean to reign? I didn't plan on starting out this way, but it's all good anyways. What does it mean to reign? To reign means your word is it. Doesn't it? Isn't that? That's what a king does. When a king speaks, that's it. If there was no law to that effect, it just became law. My goodness. So over your life, you are king. Over your life, you are Lord. Of course, Jesus died and shed His blood to give you that privilege. But it is your privilege. Hallelujah. What you say goes. My goodness. Mm-hmm. About your health, about your finances, about your affairs. What you say goes. If you believe it, receive it. Receive that privilege and take full advantage of it. What you say goes. Not what I say, not what the government says, not what the devil says, what you say. Amen. Unless you agree with him. Which is why we talk about confessing God's word. When you confess God's word, you're agreeing with God. When you confess the devil's word, you're agreeing with him. You're handing over keys to him. My goodness. That's a good place to start. Maybe to finish. Hallelujah. King of kings. Lord of lords. See, we read that and we're so religious about it. But we never stop and think. King of kings. Well, okay, I know who the king is, but who are these other kings that he's king over? And you know it's not natural kings. Amen. Unless they're born again. A whole bunch of them are not. So they're not looking to him to tell them what to do. They're just out there doing their thing. In fact, too many of them are doing exactly the opposite of what he would have them do. So they can't be looking to him to be their king. But oh, he is our king. And he has made us kings under him. My goodness. My. So. Let's get into it. He wants us. He wants our finances at the level of kings. Amen? Amen. My. Hallelujah. So last week we talked about the fact that the church, we talked about money averse churchianity. Not Christianity, churchianity. Christianity is completely comfortable around money. You remember, do you not? Jesus at one point went and sat by the offering, as people brought money. He was completely comfortable with that. And commented as far as what they were doing and so forth. The church is not comfortable about money. We act like it's a dirty word. And yet, we get up Monday morning, spend 8 hours, Tuesday morning, same thing, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And some of us, we got another job on the side as well. But oh, Pastor, better not talk much about it in church. See, that's wrong. You know, that must be the devil. Mm. Anything that takes that much part of our lives, if the gospel were silent on it, I would call it a huge omission. Big, big, big omission. But the gospel is not silent about it. Not at all, not in the least. So we talked about that, and of course the devil doesn't want the church to have any money, because that's what he has to have to tempt people with. Okay? And so if we have it, he's concerned that we might use it in ways that he doesn't want us to use it. It's as simple as that. Simple as that. And he has managed to bring that into the church. You know, non-profit doesn't mean poor. Some people think that just because we're a non-profit, I mean we're supposed to be poor. There are plenty of non-profit corporations that are not poor. But they're not a threat to the devil. We are, as a church. And so this is one area. I mean, we talked about these things. Three major areas of the gospel. When Adam and Eve sinned, the curse came upon this planet, on the human race, in three major ways. Spiritual death, sickness and disease, and poverty. We talked about that before. Plenty of the gospel has been preached about spiritual death. Just about every denomination, not all, but most, talk about being born again, get right with God. Great. When it comes to healing, not as many. Not as many. Too many believe that when it comes to healing, go see the doctor. Thank God for doctors. Like I've said before, if not, a whole bunch of folks would be dead already. Luke was a doctor who wrote the book of Acts and the gospel that named after him. So we're talking about doctors, but Jesus is a healer. Mm-hmm. Not just a savior from sin, healer from diseases and sicknesses. And the third area, wow, the church at large doesn't really want to even hear much about it. But it is no different from God's perspective than the other two. Jesus is a financier. Amen. The curse of poverty is just as damnable in God's sight as the curse of sin, as the curse of disease. Just as damnable. Just as damnable. Amen.
Amen.
And so we got to talk about that as much as we have talked about being saved from sin and so forth. Got to. Have to. And this is one minister that has been called to do it. And so... I intend to obey him. Okay, so we talked about that, and I ended with the 100-fold return. And if you all recall, you giggled when I talked about it. Nobody receiving it, you know. It's sad from God's perspective. What else do I have to do for that to be available? For them to get it? What else do I have to do? Think about if you're a parent or just an aunt or a nephew, an uncle, if you don't have any children, think about your nieces and think about wanting to bless them, and you bless them and you've done everything for them, and all they got to do is come receive it and they won't do it. It is frustrating. If you're God, amen, it is frustrating. Which is why he's assigned me and a number of others, a whole bunch of folks are not obedient to teach this. I can tell you that. The folks that you hear teach about finances are not the only ones who are called to do it. A whole bunch of folks are not doing it because it's one of those things that, like we've said, the church doesn't necessarily want to hear about it. So I told you that... The issue with the rich young ruler was not his riches. Remember that? Jesus told him, go sell, come follow me. When you sell, said the prophet, come follow me. You have treasure in heaven. I told you treasure in heaven is It's not so when you go to heaven you can access it. What are you going to do with treasure in heaven? Nothing. There are no malls in heaven. Amen. Treasure in heaven is held in that account of yours, so you can access it from the earth. As you know, you have an account. Matthew chapter 6. Go over there. Some of you look like you don't remember. Matthew 6. You have an account. And so when Jesus says to the young, rich young ruler, sell, give to the poor, come follow me, you have treasure in heaven. All of that selling, when you sell at the profit, all of that. And then, of course, the multiplication was designed to be put in his account in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Isn't that what you do with the savings account? You lay up. Huh? You put some money away. That's what he's saying. Huh? It says, don't lay it up on earth. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have a checking and savings account. Say, don't lay it up on earth only. Don't let that be the emphasis. Okay? Because on earth, moth and rust, inflation, deflation, and all of the vagaries of the economic system will mess it up. Thieves can break through and steal. Robbers. Okay? But then he says, here's what I want you to do. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's your account. You have an account in heaven. And it is loaded. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. If you could see it, it is loaded. My, 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 my. It seems to me a whole bunch of Christians are going to go out to heaven and say, oh wow, I could have lived a lot better life, don't we? So anyway, so when he told the rich young ruler, you have treasure in heaven, he wasn't telling him that he was going to be broke after that. How can you follow Jesus and be broke?
Amen.
Think about it. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So we end up with that. So what I want to talk to you about the hundredfold return today. To try to impress upon you that this is not pie in the sky. Huh? This is not fantasy, unreal. It's not a figure of speech. Amen. This is for real. Jesus said it and he meant it. It's about time we took him at his word. And so we have this, let me further read here. I'll talk about it. All right. So when we talk about love, okay, talk about patience, for example. You know, we're kind of uncomfortable about those subjects because we know that so much of the time, too much of the time, we don't measure up. Sometimes we're loving and patient, sometimes we're missing and so forth. But at least we agree that they ought to be talked about. Amen? You know, because that's a good thing. Okay? Problem is, when it comes to money, we don't measure up. Most Christians don't support that church. Mm-hmm. Only about 20% of Christians tithe. And so it makes us uncomfortable to talk about it. And therefore, we don't agree that it should be talked about. When it comes to love and patience, those are challenging things, but yeah, we can talk about it. But money, challenging, don't want to talk about it. And here's what makes it worse. The devil has also added suspicion that the person, the pastor, talking about money wants your money. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's true in some cases. Amen, we have to admit that. But not in all cases. Not in all cases. There are crooked professionals of every profession. Amen. Just about every profession. Amen. But it's a subject matter that we have to address. So I'm really, I tell you the truth, I'm really learning for myself as I'm led by the Lord and passing this info to you. What's going on? I'm learning myself too. Glory to God. And I read something just yesterday that I thought, ooh, brother, But that's not for today, so
we'll get to it
as we go along here. My. Okay, so 104. It is supernatural, no doubt, supernatural. Okay, but on the other hand, it's also ordinary. Do we believe in the supernatural or not? So see, you read the, okay, so Genesis 1, you read about that, every day God created. How long were those days? Are those 24-hour days? Are there 1,000 years between day one and day two? Because the Bible says that, 1,000 years is the day of the Lord and so forth. Or are there 300 million years between those two? You know my answer to that? It doesn't make any difference to me. The time span between day one and two could have been 3 billion. Makes no difference to me. Could be 24 hours. Could be 1,000 years. The issue with me is when you come telling me you couldn't be 24 hours. Huh? Because my response is, you don't know my God. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't know my God. He could have done it all in 1 hour. He could have done it in 1 minute, 1 second. So don't come telling me it couldn't happen in 24 hours. If you think it happened in 3 billion years, fine, make me no difference. It's of no material importance to me. Fact is, it did happen. But when you say it couldn't happen in 24 hours, I'm like, no. You don't know my God. He's a supernatural God. Mm-hmm. See, that's the realm of the 104. That's the realm of living all of your days, which are exactly 120 years. Supernatural. It's not natural, but that's who he is. He is a supernatural God. And we can't bring him down to our level. And we can't, when we read something in the Bible that sounds so, we can't say, well, that can't be, because you just can't. You can't see how that happens. No. You come up to his level. In fact, he said it, didn't he, in the book of Isaiah? I gave you my word so you can come up to my level. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. Huh? But I want you to come up to my thought. I want you to be like me. I want you to imitate me. The New Testament says to imitate our Father. Let's not bring him down to our level. Amen. Let's come up to his level. That's where the 104 is. Amen. Think about it. Did David actually kill Goliath? Do you really believe that? Or is that just a story in the Bible? That was supernatural. How did he kill that giant with one stone? How fast was the stone going? Teenagers, for all we know. He wasn't old enough to be in the army. So that was supernatural. Did the Red Sea actually dry up? Or is that a figure of speech? Is our God supernatural or not? If he is, what's the issue with the 104 returner? You mean he can't do that? Hallelujah. Amen. Can God? So let's talk about, look at Genesis 1:16. I'll just tell you what he says. You can write it down. He says, God created the stars. Okay? Genesis 1:16. He created the stars. And so go to Genesis 15. We'll read this one. Genesis 15. So, Abraham, Genesis 15, verse 1. Abraham, in his walk with the Lord, starts to look around himself and he thinks, well, God comes to him and says, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Reward. You are my reward. Yes, you are. But God, I don't have a child. And I want one. I mean, if you don't have a child, don't want one, then no big deal. I don't have a child, I want one. I want an heir that is from my loins. But I don't have it. Are you going to do so? Are you going to reward me with that? That's what you're talking about, reward? And so God tells him, this Eliezer of Damascus, verse 2, or in Genesis 15, and verse 3, He says, behold, to me thou hast given no child. Verse 4. God says, this Eliezer shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be your heir. So apparently Abraham thought, how is that going to happen? So here he is wanting an heir, but now wondering how that's going to happen. He said, how do you know that? Why don't you just keep reading? I know Steve has got meditating scriptures. You can do that too. So God takes him outside the tent. Why did he do that? He must have had problems with what he just got. He just told Abraham. Abraham must have thought, okay, I like the sound of that, but. Takes him out. Come out. Look up. See those stars? I did that.
Glory to God forever.
Can you count them, Abraham? I did that. So when I tell you you're going to have a child, you can take it to the bank. Mm-hmm. That's how it's doing. And then you look at the next verse. Abraham believed in the Lord. Finally sunk in. Are you getting this? It finally sunk in. So when God told Abraham something that seemed unbelievable, he took him out, showed him the stars. Look, I did that. I can do what I just told you. So let's look at the stars to see whether the 140 is just a pie in the sky. Did you know that there are roughly 200 billion trillion stars? 200 billion trillion stars. That's an estimate. I think there's a whole lot more than that. That's all they can. These are scientific estimates. 200 billion stars. 200 billion trillion. You know, like you say, 100,000? Huh? 100 million? 100 billion? This is 200 billion trillion. I didn't stop and look how many zeros that takes. Stars. That's equivalent to 10 times the number of cups of water in all the oceans of the earth. The Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic, the Indian, the Arctic, all of that. I drink tomato juice in cups, so I know exactly what a cup is. Cup of tomato juice every morning, cup of beet juice. So I know. So if you were to empty the Pacific, let's say you had this other space that you could empty the Pacific into. One cup. And then you went under the Atlantic. The number of stars is 10 times the number of cups of water in the Atlantic, in all the oceans of the earth. That's our God. And we have the nerve to doubt the hundredfold. Think about it. Okay, how many humans are on the planet right now? About 8 billion, that's it. 8 billion, that's it. There are 200 billion trillion stars. My goodness. There are 200 billion trillion dollars. Huh? 200 billion trillion stars. How can you doubt the hundredfold return? It can't be because he cannot deliver. Huh? That's the point. That can't be the reason. There are only 8 billion people on the planet. 8 billion times 100, that's what 100-fold is. How many is that? 800 billion. That's it. Let me remind you, there are 200 billion trillion stars. If you multiply the number of people on the planet, it's not even a trillion. By 100, multiply the 8 billion people times 100, it's not even a trillion. God has 200 billion trillion stars. My goodness. Now, of the 8 billion, 2.4 billion are Christians. That's it. So can he find a way to get the 100-fold to every one of those 2.4 billion? If they did what he said. If he created that many stars. Of course, of the 2.4 billion, like I told you earlier, only 20% of them tithe. That's 480 million. That's it. Can he deliver the 100-fold to these that give? All right. What is the earth? What has been the earth's population from Adam? Since Adam, 117 billion people have lived on the planet. Since Adam, 117 billion. God has 200 billion trillion stars. If you multiply 117 billion by 100. You get 12 trillion. That's it. 12 trillion. God has 200 billion trillion stars. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. Are you getting the how mighty he is? He does not deserve for us to doubt him or the Mickey Mouse hundredfold. And yet, we do. He doesn't deserve for us to doubt him when he says, you can, if you want to, live to be 120 years. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. If we don't want to, that's fine.
Yeah.
If we don't want to, fine. But it can't be a matter that, well, you know, I mean, that's unreal. My goodness. You multiply 117 billion by 100, you've got 12 trillion. Which means in stars, you still have 188 billion trillion stars to go. If you multiply 117 billion by 1,000, we have 117 trillion. And you still got 83 billion trillion stars to go. I mean, when you look at these numbers, you're like, wow. Why would I ever doubt? Again, like I said, if you don't want it, that's another story. That's fine. He won't impose it on you. But it can't be because it's unreal. It's an allegory. It's a figure of speech. Okay. So basically, God could give every human being who has ever lived a thousandfold return in stars. Not in dollars, in stars. How much is a star worth if you could, you know, put it in those terms? Okay, let's talk about That's stellar heavens. What about right here on this earth? How much wealth is on this earth? Amen. Real wealth is in commodities, is in the stuff that creates wealth. They get oil out of the ground and they make money off of it. How much money? How much wealth on this planet? This is dated but it gives you a sense. It's 1985 numbers. 1985 numbers expected, the production expected in the next 20 years, that is, up to 2005, okay? Copper, $220 billion. Gold, $50 trillion with a T. Silver, $300 billion. Aluminum, $360 billion. Iron, tin, zinc, and lead, $600 billion. The total of that is $51 trillion and some odd. Can God manage to somehow get you a hundredfold from all of that? Huh? You think you could? Guide a little bit of that towards you, in your bank account, your direction, your assets and all that? You think God can? You think He loves you enough that He could do that? In fact, He already has. He already has. Here are some other items. Okay, oil, $16 trillion. That's at the T. $16 trillion. Barley, $1.4 trillion. Another T. Corn, $4 trillion. Another T. This is stuff what money is made of. Meat, $19 trillion. Rice, $4 trillion. You know the world eats rice. You know that, right? Pork, $4 trillion. Wheat, $3.6 trillion. Can God? There is no issue with God when it comes to hundredfold. Okay, think about the orange tree. Orange seed, one seed. Huh? Talk about nature. Hundredfold in nature. One seed produces an orange tree. The orange tree will yield between 100 to 300 oranges per season. For decades. From one seed. Is that 100-fold? 2,000-fold? 100,000-fold? God did that. He can do that with an orange seed, but he can't do that if you sow in the kingdom. In fact, this orange tree, producing an average of 100 to 300 oranges, orange seed, 100 and 300 oranges per growing season for many decades, can do so for over 100 years. Think about that. All came from one seed. God did that. My goodness. Look at Luke 13. Look what a seed can do. I'm telling you folks, 100-fold is nothing to God. It's about time we start honoring His ability by believing that it is what it says it is. Luke chapter 13, look at verse 18. Here's what a seed can do. Then he said unto them, Kingdom of God is like, whereunto shall I resemble it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. A grain of mustard seed. One. When a man took, cast it into the... Now remember I said the kingdom of God is like this. That will certainly include a hundredfold return. Took one seed, cast it in the garden, it grew, and it became a tree, and the tree became big enough for fowls of the air, for birds to come lodging. All of that from one seed. God did that. Look at Mark chapter 4. The hundredfold. Not a big deal at all. My goodness. Christians sing songs about how mighty is our God. Mighty is our God. I don't believe it. No, but even think about it, just singing, just being religious.
Mark chapter 4.
Look at verse 26. And he said unto them, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, one seed, and he should sleep and rise night and day. In other words, don't worry about how it's going to happen. Amen? And this is a farmer, casts a seed, goes to bed, gets up. And the seed does its thing. Huh? And the seed should spring up and grow up. He does not know how. Many cases, too many cases, that's our problem. We want to see how. How are you going to do this, Lord? None of your business. None of my business. Our business is to believe. And then he says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, according to a system God has designed. First the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. So it's talking about corn seed. And so I looked it up. I talked about this a long time ago. I looked it up. How many kernels are there on? How many kernels of corn does one corn kernel produce? It's way, way beyond 100-fold. You know that. Mm-hmm. So here it is. The average corn cob, and there's usually, what, 3, 4, 5 of them on one corn plant? Just the one corn cob has 800 kernels on it, on average. Up to 1,200 on it. Times 6 or 7 cobs on that one plant all came from one seed. God did that. How dare we doubt him when it comes to 100-fold and say it's allegorical or it's a figure of speech or I don't know about you, but I'm not going to doubt him. I really truly believe that he's mighty. Amen. Now here's what God told me. Man, I've kind of taught it before, but I heard it differently. He said, everyone who has given to the kingdom has had already deposited in their account 100-fold. Everyone. So when I said earlier that your account is so loaded, if you knew it, it's a matter of receiving or withdrawing from the account. You can't write a check on an account if you don't know how much is in it. Amen? So you have to first believe that it's there for you to have any chance of actually enjoying what's in there. And so we are on the first step. Most Christians don't even believe it. They don't believe it. When it comes to finances, get a job, get a business, work 40 hours, and retire. That's it. You can't write a check for an amount of money you don't know it's there in the bank. But even after you know the money is there, right? There's still a process. Every bank has a process by which you can withdraw money from their account. From your account, your money, you still got to go through the process. Likewise in God's system. So here's God's system of withdrawal. Believe that it's there. Believe that it's there. Tithe. Give offerings as God leads you. Speak and expect only abundance. And remember now, you have a lifetime. Look at Mark chapter 10. That's God's system. Believe that the money is there, already there in the account, because it is. How do I know that? Jesus said it right here, Mark chapter 10. Verse 29. Verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, there is no man, huh? There is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive, huh? He shall receive, he shall receive. That means it's already deposited. So it's not a matter of receiving. He shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. So you have a lifetime to receive it. So just because you haven't received it doesn't mean squat. Amen. Which is why it is folly, biblical folly. Help me, Jesus. To start thinking about downsizing the older you get. You've heard me say it. I'll never downsize. See, because I know what the Bible says. You have a lifetime. The older you get, the more prosperous you should be. You know, we have a semblance of that naturally speaking, right? I mean, you're a teenager, you go to high school, get a job, you know, making minimum wage. Huh? Then you go to college, you graduate, get a degree, and you start making a little more money. 10 years later, you know, you bought a house, now start making a little more money. And next thing you know, you have, IRA and 401k, and you make a little more money. The problem is, then we just, because naturally, that's where it stops. Once you turn 40, 50, okay, now we got to start thinking about, the downhill. We're going to start going downhill from now. See, that's where we should switch off. Jesus said, you receive a hundredfold in this life. So for him, there's no downhill. Because you ain't got much to begin with. Excuse my English. Huh? None of us has much compared to what we ought to have. So like I've said before, what are you downsizing to? You ain't got much to begin with. Oh, my goodness. So notice you have a lifetime. Don't worry just because you haven't gotten it. Believe that word. Give God a chance. I mean, who's to say you won't discover all your backyard on this day? I have a big backyard. I'm not doing that at all. I mean, I wish you, Lord, any way you do it, I believe your word. Glory to God forever. It's already there. So here's the system again. Believe that's there. Tithe. Give offerings as he leads you. Speak and expect only abundance. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Whether I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 120, I shall not want. Hallelujah. And remember now, you have a lifetime. Have a lifetime. Now, here's what came to me. Maybe Christians are not receiving the hundredfold because hardly any one of us is living long enough to receive it. Mm-hmm. That could be, couldn't it? That could be, couldn't it? Because Jesus clearly said here that you would receive it now and this time. And Genesis chapter 6, go over there. Genesis chapter 6 tells you exactly how long you can live on this earth if you want to. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, capital M, which means both genders of man, for that he also is flesh. Yet, although he is flesh, his days shall be 120 years. Amen. That's how long God has to fulfill the promise Jesus spoke of. But if you die off at 45, 50, 55, 60, maybe that's why you didn't get it. On top of all of the other, crossword stuff we hear. All the unbelief you got to wade through. Okay, let's look at some of the objections to the 104. The excuses people come up with. Jesus didn't mean that literally, because I don't know anybody who enjoys the 104 return. To which I say, just because you don't know anybody who is experiencing God's word does not mean it does not say mean what he says. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know of anybody who's not born again? Does that mean John 3:16 is not so? Right? Does that mean John 3:16 is not so? No. All that means is they haven't appropriated what God says in his word. That's all it means. They haven't received it. And the reason they haven't received it, because this kind of teaching is absolutely absent in the body of Christ. We barely touch on it. Too scared of the devil. In the form of criticism from people. That's what it is. That comes from the devil. Amen. Well, you know, if it were manifested in your life, since you teach it so much, maybe it would be easier for us to believe it. How do you know it's not? I've told you some bits and pieces of my life. I live in the ghetto. Where I live now is 100 times better. In fact, 1,000 times better. And I'm not even close to dying yet. Is that 100-fold? Of course it is. Jesus said I had a lifetime to enjoy it. Amen. But here's the real deal. Well, if you manifest your life, it would be easy to believe. No, you wouldn't. You would not. You would not believe it. The devil would give you excuses why you wouldn't believe it. He would. He would. All kind of excuses. He would. Let me ask you this. Why is it that when Jesus was resurrected, right? How come he didn't go through Jerusalem with his hands like this? See, it's me. With his, you know, so they can see the spear. See, it's me. How come he didn't do that? All they had to do was go through the streets of Jerusalem. They could see the holes in his hands. Look, I told you. Remember? I told you. It's me. It's me. Why did he do that? You know what? They would not believe it. They would not have believed. They would say, it might be his ghost. That's what they would say. And you know a little bit of that. Thomas, they told him, hey, the Lord appeared to us. I don't believe it. Only 11 told, I don't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. No. If you won't believe this word, In fact, look at the book of Luke. Luke 16. This is coming to my mind. Remember Lazarus and the rich, wicked rich guy? Is that Luke? Luke. I think it's Luke. Where is it, Luke? That laid by Lazarus. Laid by the rich man's sores and hope to get stuff from falling down from is it 19? I think it's, where is this law? Isn't it Luke? And the rich man died and Lazarus died. And rich man, rich man said, Father Abraham, send somebody to go tell my brothers. Remember that? And Abraham told him, no, they wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. 22? Is it what book? Luke?
Luke 16.
I thought it was 16. Why can't I find it? I thought it was Luke 16. I can't find it. You're there in this right there. I'm looking at it. Luke 16:19. Okay? If you go from read that, we don't have time to read it, but if you read that, that's exactly what happened. Look at verse number 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am troubled in this flame. But there, Abraham saw and did it. Okay, look at verse number, who did he say that? Look at verse 28. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let in other words, they have the word. Let them believe the word. What it meant was, if someone came out there, they still wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. In fact, he said, look at verse 31. And he said, for Abraham, yeah, I know they have the word and Moses, but if somebody, let me just read it. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one come from the dead. They won't hear, they won't believe. They don't believe it. Oh yeah. In fact, if I were, you know, demonstrably working the hundredfold, folks would say, oh, he must be stealing money from the church. That's the first thing they would say. I wonder if the mafia is shipping him out somehow. Maybe he's drug dealer. Maybe he's got some drug deal on the side. That's what they would say. Oh yeah. I think some people think I deal dogs right now.
Really?
they're like, how did you get all that money driving all those cars? I mean, listen, here's why I got it. I don't know no drug dealer, all right? brother. Here's another objection. You know, it's greed. How much do you want? A hundredfold. That's a misunderstanding. Greed is not about how much you want. It's about how much you keep. Oh, yeah. And we talked about it before. It's not about how much you want. It's about how much you keep. If God told you to give somebody $10 and you didn't do it, you just got greedy. You kept that which belongs to somebody else. That's it. That's greed. If I want $100 billion so I can provide every village in Asia and Africa a water well, that's not greedy. See that? That's not greedy. I'm not keeping it. I want it for a reason. That's not greed. Greed is how much you keep, not how much you want. Hallelujah. So if God told you to do something and haven't done it, where money is concerned, you that's greed. I don't care if it's $1, if it's $2, because you kept that which you should have let go. That's greed. So, people will say one in 104. Besides that, Jesus said it. I didn't say it. He said I could have it. Is Jesus promoting greed? No. Here's another one. Like I said that. Every cent of every dollar that comes to your life is not for you. Amen? Get used to that. Every cent of every dollar that comes to your life is not for you. Some of those cents are supposed to be passed on. 10 cents passed on to God's work, and then some, if you dare to do an offering. And there may be some other cents going to some other people, family members, you know, so forth. God privileged you with handling the entire dollar. That doesn't mean you're supposed to keep all of it for yourself. Amen. Okay, here's another Well, you know, last year I gave, man, how many thousands to God? Wow. If I received 100-fold on that, I would be as rich as Bill Gates. That's the point! That is the point! God wants the Bill Gates of the world to be Christians. Born again, tongue talking, divine healing believing, mission oriented, help the poor Christians. That's the plan. But see, the way you said it, you're not coming in here close to that. Because the way you said it is full of unbelief. The way you said it was mocking. You mocked God. I was going to say, forgive me for yelling at you, but let me show you. You know, Jesus, yeah, I live now and then. You know, did you know that? He can say, well, you can't help but yeah. Look at the book of John. Let me show you. You remember that, right? When he went to Lazarus' grave, he said, hey, Lazarus, please come out of there. He said, yeah. Every now and then it just comes over me and okay, you can find it. I don't have time left. You can find it. Jesus, yeah, every now and then. If you ever read the word cried, that's yelling. Holy Ghost, yeah. Alright, see, here's another one. You know you have never, you know, be honest, you know you've never received a 100-fold. So it couldn't be, Jesus couldn't mean what he said because you haven't received it. First of all, who do you think you are? Because you haven't received it, it's not so? You see where that puts you? You have elevated your experience to the level of the scripture. If you were so, surely I would have received it. Because you're such a good Christian. See that? No, the word is so, whether or not you and I experience it. Huh? It is so anyway. John 3:16 is still what it is if nobody gets born again. We come up. We endeavor to experience what the Bible said. We don't bring it down to our level. We come up to this level. If he says it, that's the way it is. If I never experience it, it's still so. No. Be honest. You never received it. Okay, well, that's on you, not on God. Mm-hmm. Again, John 3:16, you know, people who are not born again, that's on them, not on him. They can't say, well, I believed that Jesus was crucified for me and died for me, and I confessed him as my Lord and Savior, but I didn't get born again. They can't say that. They cannot say that. Because God would never be made up to be a liar. You have not received 100 for being honest. Well, that doesn't mean it's not so. Okay? You are not all that. I am not all that. The Word is all that. Besides, I already told you. I lived in the ghetto. Where I live now is 100 times at least better than where I lived. First car we got when we came here, somebody gave us a car. The first car we ever bought as a married couple, we bought it for $450. I didn't say $4,500. It was $450. Tiny Nissan, I don't think they even make it anymore. The cars we drive today are 100 times more than that. Amen? Don't tell me the 100 foot doesn't work. I have. I know that. Jesus said you had a lifetime to get it, to receive it. Hallelujah. Yeah, but that's true for those who are not Christians, who just went to college and, like I told you, they graduated, they got a job, and they're driving better cars than they did, too. No, it's not. No, it's not. I didn't cheat on taxes. Huh? I didn't get anybody fired to get their job. Amen. Some of those folks did those things to be who they are. Yeah, but not everybody did that. Some people were honest and did everything by the book. And yeah, that's possible. But guess what? If they did that, they were working God's system. Amen. Being honest, working hard, treating people right. You are working God's system. Even if you're not a Christian, it'll work for you. To the extent God will meet you where he can. If you work the system like that, you're an honest man, you do your best, you work hard, it works for you some. But guess what? It will not work with you as well as if you became a believer and took his word for it. Here's an example. You're working for this company, all of a sudden you hear that they're going to lay people off. Guess what? You're going to start worrying, full of anxiety, huh? Stressed out. If you're a believer and you work by this word, you will not be stressed out. You see the difference? You say, hey, I was looking for a job when I found this one. There's another one out there for me. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. See, if you're not a Christian, you can't say that. In other words, a certainty is not going to be there. So you work God's system to the extent that you can. But if you're not born again, you can't. You don't get the mother load of it. Not because it's holding away from you, but that's just the way the system works. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 10:22, we've read that many times. The blessing of the Lord, it make it rich, add no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it make it rich, and adds no sorrow. What does that mean? That means if it's not the blessing of the Lord, sorrow is already built into it. It's a matter of time until it shows up. Huh? It's in there. That's what he says. The blessing of the Lord, it make it rich, has no sorrow. Any other kind of, quote, blessing has sorrow built into it. Whether you see it, feel it, or not, it's in there. One of these days, it's going to come, it's going to slap you in the face. So to work it, you got to work it. Look at Proverbs 8. We'll close on this. First closing, I guess. Proverbs 8. Look at Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse number... verse number... verse 18. Well, look at verse 1. Talk about riches. Talk about wisdom. Doth not wisdom cry? What did I tell you about cry? When you hear cry, you see cry in the Bible? That means yell. Huh? Wisdom is yelling. And understanding, put forth her voice. Huh? See that? Yelling to get your attention. Hey! Hey! What you want is me! And then you read all of that, and here's wisdom. Wisdom says in verse 17, wisdom, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches. In other words, if it doesn't come by the wisdom of God, it's not durable. You can't count on it. You know, I read the other day, some Chinese billionaire. I think it's the richest Chinese person. He has a, I think it's, what's that website? I think it's called, I think it's Temu or something. Overnight, they got lost, I don't know how many billions of dollars. 50 billion because of stocks, you know.
The wisdom of God brings you durable riches. Amen? No sorrow.
And, see that? And righteousness. Not just riches, and righteousness.
And so getting it as a believer beats getting it by just working hard and being honest and so forth. Because as a believer, you've got something supernatural working for you that this other person does not have. It's available to them, but they do not have it because they have not confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I know there are plenty of Christians who have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they are untaught when it comes to some of the things we're talking about. So it's not enough to get born again. You have to be taught. Jesus said, if you believe in me, help me, Jesus. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue, too many folks get born again, and they do not learn this book. Don't continue in it. It doesn't make them free. That is, it doesn't make them, they don't give the word a chance to make them independent of the circumstances of this world. That's what the word is designed to do for us. Make us independent. Amen. Okay. I think I've said long enough. So now, what is wisdom? What's wisdom? Look at this is my last. Look at Luke 11. I want to tell you what wisdom is. Because you said this is wisdom. Wisdom crying. Well, what is that? What does that mean? Well, that's the definition of wisdom. Luke 11. Look at verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. The word of God said that. So the wisdom of God is the word of God.
Yes.
That's it. The wisdom of God is the word of God. Amen. 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 Okay. Father, we thank you. We praise you for opening our spirits to understanding your word. We thank you for further revelation of these things. We want to know your word, we want to continue your word, that it might make us free indeed, make us independent of the circumstances of this life. As independent as Noah was on the flood. The same flood that flooded the earth, Noah rode on it. Oh, hallelujah. Because he kept your word, he was led by wisdom, your word. He did what you told him to do, and when the floods came, he was riding on it. Hallelujah. That's your plan. For all of us, for all time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for revealing these things to us, for giving us further comprehension of even the things that you've revealed to us along these lines. We praise you for it, Father, in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen, amen. My friend, do you know Jesus? He wants to get to know you. He's acquainted with you. He knows you. To some extent, but he wants to walk with you. He wants to be your guide through life. He volunteers to be your caddy, so to say, on the golf course. Glory to God. To tell you what stick to use to play what hole and how to stand, how to swing, you know, so you can hit the holy one. Glory to God. So receive him now. If you mean it in your heart, it doesn't take much. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Yes, Lord. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive my prayer language. Speak in tongues where I shut the devil out. Just you and me, Father and child, communicating. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I thank you for doing it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. If you pray that prayer, honestly, he did exactly what he said he would do. He'll begin to lead you and guide you now through life. And you'll see an improvement in your life. I'm not suggesting you're not going to have any more challenges, but now you've got what it takes. You've got the tool necessary to overcome every challenge. If you live anywhere around here in the Austin area, I mean within 100 miles, come see us. That's not too far to drive. If God sent you here, it will be more than worth your while. If not, keep watching us. We'll be back sometime next week. Until then, be a Berean. Be a stickler for this book. This is the bread of life. The water that quenches every thirst. I mean every. See you later.